Chapter 66. A few years older and many fights wiser, Charlie was at ease as he prepared for what promised to be his most challenging bout yet. "I'm okay," Charlie said, adjusting his short sword strapped to his back. "But it's a team bout, and to the death," Benny said, tightening the straps of his protective leggings. "Sir Barood has never let any of us fight in a contest like this." "And from what he said, there has never been a bout like this," Charlie replied, slipping on his heavily charged conus. The marriage of a regent, joining two systems as one, called for something special. He slipped a heavy slop into the secure pouch on his hip, a deadly device, but only to be used as a backup in the most dire of circumstances, per Sir Barood's orders. As Charlie's skills increased, so had the strength of the weapons he was allowed access to. But for today's match, his teacher had deemed it dangerous enough to warrant fully powered weapons. His conus could do incredible damage if wielded properly, and Charlie had learned to wield it like an expert. As he did before every bout, he once again quietly sang the dozens of spells at his disposal to himself, a musical mnemonic that had served him well, making their casting almost second nature. Gawk stood nearby and was anxiously bouncing on his feet, agitated and full of nerves. "I don't know how you can be so calm. This is it, the big time. Today we fight our best or we die." "And apparently there will be some surprises as well," another member of their team said. They didn't know the man. He came from a different world, but for this event, anyone wearing the green of their side was a brother, at least until victory or defeat.
"Yeah, I heard talk, but what are we looking at?" Beanie asked.
"Not sure. My master said the last time there was anything close to this kind of event, there were wild Yatzar beasts loose on the field of combat. They were painted with team colors and assigned to each side, but those razor-backed bastards paid no attention to color or allegiance and took down as many fighters as the gladiators did that day, from what he said. Whatever they are, we stick to the plan. Fight intelligently, as a team. Protect one another and we live. If they thin our ranks, the remaining men will be sitting ducks."
"What is a duck, Charlie?" Gawk asked. "Is that some kind of pacifist who sits rather than fights?"
"What? No, it's... never mind, okay? It just means they'd be an easy target. Now, let's go over the plan again. We won't have many chances to reach the Golden Ring, so we have to make them count." The main event was a battle royale, a chaotic melee with three teams, each with a dozen fighters per side, all engaging at once. There were only two ways to win the bout. If a gladiator somehow scaled to the top of a tall, greased pole in the center of the massive arena and grabbed the golden ring sitting atop it, they would be crowned champion and the fighting would cease. The winning team would feast like royalty, while the vanquished would be whipped, then sent packing. Whipping, however, was preferable to death, and that was the only other way out. If two sides were annihilated, the surviving team would be declared victors. While they would not bask in the full glory obtained by capturing the ring, they would still have a great feast and pleasure women, or men if they preferred, provided for them. Charlie didn't much care about any of those things. He simply wanted to prove himself worthy of his teacher's trust and efforts. He had been taken from a mere slave and elevated to an established and popular gladiator. So much so that Sir Barood had made the unusual request of his owner to allow him to remain in this compound to train year-round, rather than see his skills lessen by returning to live in Gramfear's camps. His bearded owner agreed, so long as Charlie continued to win. The betting against the off-worlder from a distant and unheard-of world was always profitable, and Gramfear had earned considerable coin from his impulsive purchase. Upon their arrival to the planet, the gladiators had stepped from their ships into a caravan of small conveyances that carried them from the arrival area through the bazaar to the waiting arena. As they passed through the winding streets, Charlie thought he recognized the bustling world.
"Hang on, I think I've been here before. But the bazaar seems bigger," Charlie noted.
"You've been to Galea?" Gawk asked.
"Wait, this is Galea?
We're fighting in the Bruu Arena?"
"I thought you knew. It's the biggest in a dozen systems."
"I guess I did. I just didn't think we were going to be fighting here," he said, taking in the sheer size of the arena as they drew near.
"Dear Lord, that's one big building."
"Yes, and the place is going to be filled to capacity," Benny said, with an excited giggle.
Calm down, Binny. You're going to make a spectacle of yourself. Right, okay, he said, forcing himself to stay planted in his seat. They were hustled through the crowds to the waiting preparation area within the arena. Then the gladiators from all across the systems were grouped together with their teammates to spend the day learning each other's strengths and weaknesses while preparing to fight as a slapped-together team. The following afternoon, they would either fight together or they would die. And they had only one day to form a bond that would very literally be the difference between life and death.